So we started talking about the whole concept of rewards and how that thing works. And we see on the Sermon on the Mount, in Luke 6, we did it, where he talked about blessings. And if you noticed, and it may seem like only the people that are struggling down here are going to be blessed, and all the people that are enjoying themselves down here are going to be cursed. But it's not necessarily that. It's those who live for. Okay, if this is what defines me, and as we went through the whole list, blessed are you who are poor, for your kingdom, for yours is the kingdom of God. And I've said this before, it's what I identify as. If I consider myself rich, I'm going to live based on that. If I happen to be a Christian that have riches, that's a difference. And I understand I'm poor. Do you understand that? And the Bible lets us know that through, I could do a whole sermon on what I identify as, what I am, and we've already distorted that concept, and what I truly am, and we have to know that. But the same thing when he gave the woes, he says, "But woe to you who are rich, you have already received your comfort." And we already know in 2 Timothy, where it talks about Christians who happen to be rich, what they're supposed to do, supposed to be generous, so on and so forth. So we gotta understand this and recognize what are we allowing ourselves to be identified as. This has nothing to do with what you say you are. You could say, "Oh no, I'm a Christian," this and that. Claiming means nothing. It's what you display, how you live. So we've seen these gifts, and how you live is going to be what gives us those gifts. Moses had the foresight on what to give up. It says he gave up the present worldly pleasures and focused on receiving heavenly rewards. Remember, he chose to be mistreated along with the people of God rather than enjoy the pleasures of sin for a short time. I think when prosperity ministries came out, when comfort ministries came out, and people catered to people's flesh ministries, itching ear ministries came out, people loved it because now I can feel good, get what I want, close my eyes to other people, and still go to heaven and still get rewards. And they're just mocking God and playing themselves. During the final judgment, two things will happen: reward and destruction. He said, for those who are his servants and who revere his name, that's a lifestyle. It's not just a couple of words you say and you're good. It's servants, prophets, your saints, and those who revere your name. But he says, both small and great, but he also said he's going to destroy those for destroying those who destroy the earth. Okay, and when we think about that, is they came down here, and instead of us being aliens and strangers here ministering, being the salt of, we were just down here doing what we want. And you have people who live off of greed to get what they want out of it. Now, we are to live our lives as athletes in a game to win the prize. I know we think it's noble when we say things like, "I'll just be happy to get into heaven." Be careful when you use your own human nobility, if you will. You know what I mean? When you think you're being this person that's just being so nice, let God define that, right? When I do it, I'm going to miss out, right? I'm going to think I'm doing more. Well, God was like, "No, I told you to do that. Nobody told you to take less." You know, it's almost like when the son went away, remember the two sons, and the other son was like, "Why didn't you throw me a party?" He's basically saying, you had access to all of this, and all you want is another party or something. Like, you don't realize all that you have. And we as Christians sometimes miss out on all that we have. We're too focused on what we think we don't have. And we're not going after it the way he says to go after it, because we allow the flesh to dictate that. So we got to make sure that's not what's telling us what to go for and what to strive for. So rewards will go to everyone, no matter their position on earth. The Lord will reward everyone for whatever good he has done. Good he's done, and understanding only God is good. So if you pay close attention, Satan did brilliantly. He allowed the world to give us definitions of what's good, and we follow those. There's a lot of people that run out and go help somebody their way on their time to make themselves feel good, and they've already been rewarded. There is no reward in heaven when my purpose is not there. And my purpose, as we know in Galatians, has to be God. We'll see that in a while in this. Now, we started off with what those rewards look like, and they're hard. This is another one of those that man can't explain this. Please don't let a man explain it, because I think majority of us, if we're being honest, when you hear you're getting a crown, you're like, "Wow, Right? I mean, I think a lot of us are like, okay, but a crown? Now, once again, we'll try to be humble and we'll try to be nice and go, wow, I want my crown. But we do want that crown because it's much more than man-made crowns and man-made awards and man-made statues. These will have, I'm not even going to go any further. We just know they're worth it. And he goes into the crown of righteousness. And that's why he's saying, because you fought the good fight. And James, he shows us the crown of life. And those are those who persevere under trials, right? Even the ones who live and continue persevering even to the point of death. That crown of life, even though we, if you're a Christian, you're going to get the gift of life, there is this crown of life, and it's going to be built for those who went through things that others otherwise would have quit. Do you get where I'm going with this? And they kept doing it. They stood the test, and they receive this crown of life. So now, continuing on, another crown is the crown of glory. And these are for ministers and pastors. Okay? 1 Peter 5, 1 to 4 says, the elders among you, I appeal as a fellow elder, a witness of Christ's suffering, and one who also will share in the glory to be revealed. Be shepherds of God's flock. Now that's a command and an understanding of what my responsibility is. We've distorted the whole church structure so much, it's become a business that we don't realize this. You have too many pastors who are CEOs. He didn't say be a CEO and run a great business and give me the bottom line, let me see your money. He said be shepherds of God's flock. A lot of them run a business and the people get what you get instead of realizing I'm responsible for these people because they belong to God, God's flock, and I'm just their shepherd. I'm an under shepherd to the ultimate shepherd, which is Christ. That's why he says, and just the ones that are under your care, serving as overseers. Okay? Not because you must, but because you are willing, which is showing us minister isn't one of those that was forced into it. I hear some that say, and I'm even in there, struggled for taking the position for many reasons, but it was still my choice. I can't blame it on nobody forced me in it. However, it is a good position to be in, but there's a lot of responsibility that come with it. It says, as God wants you to be. When he says, but you are willing as God wants you to be, you don't go in there, okay, God, I'm going to do it under my terms. I'm going to do it the way I want to. You have a lot of ministers that is really setting themselves up. I mean, I think if you read the other study on Who Will Not Enter, false teachers are really setting themselves up. I mean, they're doomed, especially the ones that are preaching other gospels. Remember, he said that twice, that they'd be eternally condemned. That you don't play with God's word, but we have many that are doing that. We're taking it, we're twisting it, we're adjusting it, and we have no right to do that. It's better to go, I don't know, than to add to it, to change things. He says, not greedy for money, but eager to serve. Why is he saying, first of all, not greedy for money? Because it's not meant to be a money maker. It wasn't meant to be a money maker. Can you make money off? Absolutely, but that's not the goal. And the way you'll know the difference is when they stop making money, you'll see adjustments happen to make more money. You understand that? Well, the ones who are doing what they're supposed to will focus on shepherding God's flock. The money is an afterthought, right? If I make more, if I don't. And he says, and eager to serve. There's another verse that talks about how zeal is not something you allow to feel in yourself, it's something you have control over, okay? Eager to serve. It says, not lording it over those entrusted to you. You get those ministers that want to let you know that I'm the pastor and you better follow me. Some people like that type of leadership, which shows how warped we are as a flesh. People like that take charge and just be this. Lording over, God hates. You'll never see a person who's lording over and a godly person. You can't be both because Christians are servants. Unfortunately, the world sometimes sees that as weak, which shows. Once again, how warped we are. God gives us a true definition of something, and we allow the world to distort what that really is. You see where we get this focus of what a true leader is versus, what's not. I listen to people all the time, and I hear their version of leadership, and I hear more worldly leadership, and you see more churches allowing them to come in. But he goes in, you must not lord over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. This is a big part of our ministry, is how we live, how we deal with things. And then he shows the reward. And when the chief shepherd, there's Jesus, appears, you will receive the crown of glory that will never fade away. We don't get a lot of information on what that crown does, what it means. We know it will never fade away. And we know it's an honorable thing to have. And we know it's a great thing to have. So we strive to get that crown. But you see all the qualifications that come with it. Did you see that? Once again, not greedy for money. Eager to serve. The eager to serve is going to show during those times where it's just not popular, it's just not comfortable, it's not desirable, and you're still doing it. Do you understand that? And the lording over part's going to play a big part. So these ones who get up there and they run the place, I don't care how people like it or not, God's, you lose this thing because I have to do it the way God wants, because I have to answer to the chief shepherd in order for me to get this reward. Now, there's also the crown of victory. 1 Corinthians 9, 24 through 27 shows, he says, do you not know that in a race, all runners run, but only one gets the prize? Now, he's telling in a regular worldly race, only one can get the prize. Okay? He says, to us as Christians, run in such a way as to get the prize. Now, in a worldly race, you can go, I'm just out here to have fun. I've seen people that run marathons and they just want to know, I don't want to know what my time is. I'm not trying to win, blah, blah, blah. All that's great. But when it comes to your spiritual life, he said, no, I need you to run that to win the prize. And you can't run it in such a way to win the prize saying, well, I can't beat that person. I can't. He didn't say run if you think you're going to win, if you have a chance. He says run as if you're going to win. You know, I've gave physical examples, and we've seen it before. I don't know if you remember, where the people ran in a race, and, you know, the lady came in fourth, and she ran, and she never stopped. Only find out the first three people, and this is during the times when they were using those enhancement drugs, three of them got disqualified. She came in first. She got the goal, but she never stopped running. And this is what God is looking at. If I'm too busy looking at people around me, measuring myself by what the world says, I'm not running to win. I remember when we played sports in school, the coach would always tell us, get the ball. I need you to look forward. You know, you see how the people showboat and they look around and they do all this other nonsense that they do. He was like, I need you to focus. I need you to stay focused. You get in trouble, even if you got a touchdown. Did not play that. And the focus is still a good example for us as Christians. You strain forward for the prize, which we'll talk about a little bit if we didn't already talk about that one. But understand, this is what we are responsible for doing. So how do you do this? He says, everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. Now, that's the first thing, okay? You know how you first start as a Christian? And he tells you to crave pure spiritual milk so that you may mature in your salvation, okay? That's the first thing. Now, when he says crave, a lot of us want a feeling of craving and wanting God's word. I always told you, it's disturbing, concerning when somebody comes in emotionally loving God, because that will fade, because our emotions are fickle, right? However, if I make myself crave, despite how I feel, man, I'm in good shape, because that's me beating my body, right? We're about to talk about beating your body, but that's the whole thing. The strict training is going to be me striving to get what the word says and striving to apply it. As I do that, I'm going to grow till I get to the point where I no longer need milk, but I'll need solid food. And that's when I'll really get into the nitty-gritty. You have too many Christians that grow never getting out of the milk phase. Never, ever getting, because they're too distracted. They still live off of emotions. The sermon we're going over right now, they've replaced those for spiritual. And that's, you know, it's such a shame that we have that. But the strict training, as he says, because he says the world does it. You watch people in the Olympics, man, and that's their life for that moment. You know, some of them have that one race they're going to be in. And they spent all those years devoting their life totally to that. Now, we have eternity that we're doing this for and rewards that we actually want. So the training we go on is really going into God's word and eliminating us to grow in him. But he says they do it to get a crown that will not last, right? Trophies, crowns, all that stuff, eventually it's going to fade away. Either you're going to die, or it's going to be somewhere in your basement or in some closet that you understand it's going to be meaningless after a time. He says, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever. That's the question. What are you striving for? You know what I mean? Are you truly understanding what you're going for, the reward? And if you allow man to define it, what do I want with a crown is what you'll say. When we allow God to define our lives, he told me to run to win. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to run to win. And that's what you want to see. We went to a race one time and there was a person we knew. And I remember as the race went on, the people were cheering everybody on. And after everybody crossed the line, we waited. And this last guy was the person we knew, but he kept running. I mean, now, he wasn't as fast as everybody else, and he wasn't running saying, I just want to enjoy myself. He said, I was running to win. Now, in a physical sense, we say, well, there's no way you're going to win. You can't compete against them. But his heart is what God wants us to see. He wants to see, but he ran to win. Okay, no telling what happened to the other people before. He's doing what God told us to do, run to get the prize. Run as if you're going to be first. So what do you do in order for this to happen? Therefore, I do not run like a man running aimlessly. That's the first thing. If somebody stopped you and said, so what is your life purpose? If it's anything else other than pleasing God, you're running aimlessly. Okay? If it's for your career, for your family, for your happiness, ask anybody that got there, and then they give the now what. Right? Okay? It might even feel like a noble thing, now what? Okay. However, those same things, my career, my family, you know what I mean, my happiness and all that other stuff, if I do it to please God, there's eternity in that. There is eternity when I live for God, to please God in how I am with my family, when I live to please God in how I am with my career, when I live to please God in my happiness. That there's eternity in that. So that's me having a true focus. But if I keep making up focuses, you're going to get bored, you're going to get frustrated, you're going to make some very bad decisions, and this is why we're in terrible times right now, because we made it about us. Many people are in Christianity to please themselves. God, as long as you keep me happy, and that's why churches have turned to these organizations to pull people in to give them a purpose. But I'm not talking about godly purpose. They want to be your purpose. We're going to give you an experience. We're going to make you feel better and all over and over again. Those are all running aimlessly, right? Because we only have one true focus in the world. There's only one true way. And then he says, I do not fight like a man beating the air, right? And when you fight, you're trying to take over and win against that person, all right? You're not just swinging at nothing. You're not swinging at the air, which it can't hurt you, but you know, you're going after that. There is a focus. There is a reason. And you have to set that reason, and that reason has to be Christ. And he says, no, I, now watch this, beat my body and make it my slave. Now, remember when I said earlier, it's disturbing and it's a shame, those people who allow their cravings and their striving to come from the feeling they have. Basically, they're saying, I want my feeling to tell me to serve God. I want to wake up with a feeling to serve God. That's my body. Okay, so give me something to make me feel that way. You see it in marriages, you see it in how we are once again with our children, how we are with the careers. I hear people who say, well, I'm bored. And are you choosing to be bored, right? Are you choosing to be bored, or are you going to disenjoy God? And it shows you, because yes, your flesh is going to be bored, and I think everybody will agree, okay, this is boring if I was in my flesh. But I'm not going to let my body dictate what I am. You understand that? When a person does that, there's absolutely, especially a Christian, no excuse. But we tend to allow it to be an excuse. So what do I do in order for it to do it? I beat my body to make it my slave. That's why at times I put myself, and he puts us, in situations that are not desirable in order for me to keep striving. Right? If you went to church and you enjoyed it, it felt good, you'd keep coming to church. Right? And you have ministers that even put out books and they put out tapes that told us how to keep them coming back. Now, that's a comedian. That's an entertainment person. And I almost slipped up with that because I remember somebody who bought me one of those books and they kept telling me this is what you need to do. And so I realized, so why am I doing this? And they said that, to have them keep coming. I said, but so I'm pleasing them. And I had to show them a couple of verses saying, if I live to please them, then I'm really not a servant. Right? Then they give you that blank look, because we allow people to give their own purpose and their own reason on serving God when God already told us how to do it. So my body doesn't have a say. In fact, my body follows me. This is where fasting really plays that part, because when you fast, you ever get those people that say, well, I'm not even hungry. I'm not saying they don't, but they sometimes like to make it seem like something supernatural happens, that they can do it with no problem. You missed the whole point. The point is, I'm starving, but I have strength not to eat. That's the key, right? If anybody can go without being hungry, couldn't Jesus? And it said he fasted for 40 days and 40 nights, and he was hungry, right? So who are you that you think you're so holy that I'm going to do this thing? And look at me. It doesn't even touch me. Fine. And I know we like to get that credit. And I'm not saying sometimes you won't have those moments. The point I'm putting to you is sometimes we like to boast about ourselves instead of realizing, all right, the self is going to pull me away from Christ if I keep listening to my stomach growling and my feelings and my desires. And this is where people are at. We're struggling because we keep going after what we want, our body making us its slave, instead of us going, man, that would be nice. Nah, that's the key. That's what God wants. I beat my body to make it my slave. Watch this. So that after I have preached to others, in other words, so that I'm doing the job that I'm supposed to, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize. I know people that have gone to churches, and at times, a lot of the false teachings, they'll teach good things. At times, right? Satan, disguises himself as an angel of light. So there's times he's going to say things. He even gave scripture to Jesus, and it wasn't out of context. Do you understand that? It's if you didn't know sound doctrine, you wouldn't know how to use it. So sometimes they're going to do that. You have to measure the entire package. That's why he didn't just go, hey, was their message good? He said, you'll know them by their fruit. Have you ever noticed that? Right? You'll notice so much about them from what the Bible tells us. That's what we're supposed to be looking for. So even though they're preaching, and sometimes somebody may get something out of it, and that's great, but I myself won't get a prize, because the reason why I did it, my purpose, my foundation, false. Hear what I'm saying? Okay? And this is why some ministers join organizations, an organization to make you preach for the organization, but your reward hopefully is your paycheck. That's it. Because if the purpose is not God, you catch that? If the purpose is not God, you're just going through the motions, and you might as well just get a regular job, especially if you want to make a living. And no, God's not impressed, because you said, I chose to do this. To choose to do it, I must do it his way. That's the crown of victory. Do you understand that? And it's called a crown of victory because, ask anybody that's in any sport, it's hard to get that point. You understand that? It takes extra. It takes focus. It takes strict training. In order to to get points in order to win, in order to stay ahead of everybody else, but to do it in itself, it takes a lot out of you to do it. But it's your goal, and you'll live for every ounce of it. And that's what you want to do. Now, so we see some of these gifts. So we ask the question, how, and it should be not dough, but how do we get these rewards? How do we get these rewards? Your life is your ministry. Now, this is the difference maker. This is how you'll know, okay, when am I on the path of going to hell versus being the path of losing rewards only? Okay, somebody asked that question. That's where this came from. The question came up, how do I know when what I'm doing could take me to hell, or what I'm doing, I can just lose rewards? Here's the difference maker, so pay close attention. What you invest your life in spiritually will dictate the rewards you receive in the end. Now, watch what he says in the beginning. In 1 Corinthians 3, 10 through 15, he says, by the grace God has given me, this is Paul speaking, I laid a foundation as an expert builder, and someone else is building on it. But each one should be careful how he builds. For no one, and I should even highlight this, watch this, no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ. That right there is the key. Okay? That's the key. Actually made that. Okay. That one, he says, for no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ. That's the difference maker. That's why I should have had that highlighted. And I just put the whole study there. But do you understand what he means is, as long as I'm on the foundation, rewards or loss of rewards. And then I'll show you that as we explain this. But the minute I'm off that foundation, it's no longer Christ. Christ has to be the foundation. The foundation is the purpose. How do I know what that foundation is? You understand it? Remember he said, not everyone who comes to me and says, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father. And then he goes to that foundation. He who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice. That's the foundation. That's when your foundation is Christ. But you got a lot of people who hear these words of mine and does not put them into practice. The rest is sinking sand. Key. That's the key. Now you have a lot of men that have come in and given you a whole lot of things and labeled it Christian. And we naively went, oh, this is Christian. I'm going to do it. Right? The way you could tell is, okay, that thing they gave you, where did you get that out the word before you do it? Simple thing. Isn't it simple? But no, we get an emotional feeling that this is so spiritual what this person did. And then we naively follow it. And then that's on us. You're off the foundation. You're off the foundation. So when you find some of these organizations and denominations, when they're led by a man who gave you a lot of man instruction that you can't find in the Bible, you're off the foundation. You're in very dangerous ways of not making it into heaven. Okay, that's not a reward thing because you're not on the foundation. His word, applying it. His word, applying. Hopefully everybody gets that, okay? Those who will not enter are off the foundation. Okay, he lets you know you're off of Christ. You're not serving Christ. He says, now, so then knowing that I have to stay on that foundation, then how did the reward part work? Okay, because if I'm reading his word and I'm applying it, it's how and how much are you applying it? That's why he says, if any man builds on this foundation using gold, silver, costly stones, wood, hay, or straw. We see the first section is going to make it through a fire. And remember, things are tested through the fire, right? And if you notice, all of them start with a certain value and ends with no value at all. You know, you can see that the wood, hay, and straw are going to burn up one faster than the other, okay? And he says, his work will be shown for what it is. Another thing, if you follow man's version of it, we'll look at volume. We'll look at how it makes people think, makes people feel. You'll follow fleshly means that some man set up. And you have Christians that are doing it today. They are following worldly measurements, not realizing they're doing straw. That makes sense. Okay? They'll overdo it and not recognize. I told you I first got in the ministry. One of the things I had to recognize is though I am a pastor, even at the time I was just a minister, I'm still responsible for being a husband and a father. I can't go, oh, because I'm in this role. You see where I'm going with it? Because part of his word and putting it into practice, and I may do it sometimes, but when I use the ministry, so I got to make that time. And as busy as I am, we can talk to my wife. She keeps me in straight in that. And I still, that is a priority. It's still something that has to exist. But I still got to shepherd his flock. So it's a balancing act. But that's part of, I want it to be the gold standard. I want to make sure that if he looks at every aspect of my life, because it's not just spending time with my wife, which is part of the gold standard. How am I with my wife? Right? There's a verse that tells me, as a husband, do not be harsh. Now, if my wife's around me and she's like, I don't like being around you because you're a grump. There was a time she had to say that one time. You know what I mean? And out of love, we went on vacation. And I was just struggling with something, I remember. And I thought I was hiding it. And she looked at me. She said, why are you so upset? Right? And it broke my heart because I'm thinking of hiding it. But it was something that, Keith, why are you even allowing that? I may still feel that way, but I realized, no, this is my time with my wife. Praise God. I am blessed. And enjoy that time. Now we can just enjoy ourselves. Every time we do anything, we can laugh, and it can rain, it can do whatever, it can burn it up outside. But the point of it is that's part of doing it because God says, see, if I did it based on how I felt, still be a grump. You understand that with health and with other things that come into play. But when you allow God to be that joy, you're not allowing the world to dictate. So you want to be the gold standard. But if you're just kind of going through the motions to say you did it, yeah, you're getting closer to the straw standard. And he goes on, this work will be shown for what it is. You can call how you are the gold standard. Doesn't matter. It's going to be tested. Right? You know, you could tell God, God, I'm living and I'm giving the gold standard. Meaningless. He didn't ask you what you think. Right? Even though we have a great measurement in his word. I had to look at it because I had a lot of men that said, do more of this. Make sure you add this. Make sure you do this. And then I go to God's word and it was different. It was different. And I'm like, it didn't fit what this person's given me. And he says it will be shown for what it is because the day will bring it to light. What's that? The day of the Lord. Jesus returns. It will be revealed with fire. And the fire will test the quality of each man's work. So these men are still working, but the quality of it. As a pastor, as a counselor, as a father, as a husband, as a worker, as a human being who's a stranger and an alien, how I do it, the quality is going to be measured by God, not by man. There are certain people down here we call godly because somebody gave you the standard of godliness, and it's not godly at all. You'll hear characteristics of that person that you'll call godly because some organization gave you that definition, and instead of you going, wait, I need to check this, you went, Okay, I'll take it. You don't know how many times I'll hear people come in and you'll hear young ladies say, I'm going to marry this person. And he's a godly man. And I, simple question. So how do you know he is? I'll get, they go to church. They read their Bible. Do you understand that? Instead of focusing and realizing, no, what their life shows. You know how the Bible says this? That's what their life shows. You know how they say this? This is what their life shows. They recognize this. Their life ministers. Their life, you'll get that out of. But no, we try to give them a pass because we want godly, but we redefine godly. That's why he's saying the quality of each man's work. He goes on to say, if what he has built survives, he will receive his reward. Get it? If it is burnt up, he will suffer loss. He himself will be saved. So in other words, some are going to come the way it looks, no rewards. Some are going to have no rewards, all right? It says he himself will be saved, but that's if it's burned up. So in other words, if the quality is this, be no rewards, okay? If it's this, at least it won't get burned up, but you're going to have some melting. You're going to have some that is not strong. And melting isn't a bad point. It's just a pure different form. So, but the other ones, they totally turn and go away. Smoke and it's gone. So that's what he's talking about. If it burns up, then that's going to dictate, okay, Keith, this is where you're at, and that's what you have done. I'm still saved, but only as one escaping through the fire. And this is the one people are saying, oh, I'm happy just to make it to heaven. If God tells me to strive for the prize, I'm going to live striving for the prize. Why, Pastor? Because I live to please God. He wouldn't tell me to do it if he wasn't pleased for me doing it. So quit coming up with your self-righteousness. I'm going to live this way, and he's going to be so happy that I'm not too greedy, and I just want to be there with him, and we'll say stuff instead of going, I'm doing exactly what my father tells me. You see how that works, okay? We're focused and solely doing it based on and because of him. Now, let me change something here. I'll change it later. Okay, so. But only as one escaping the fire. That's why I have here. The difference is, though I live for God, did I live more for things that glorify God or more for other purposes? Our rewards in heaven will be based on our actions on earth. God is going to allow situations to happen. And think of every day, every moment in your life, it will be a crossroad. And it will always be another purpose, godly purpose. Every day. What did you choose? Do you understand that? What did you choose? Did when you made the decision, and it's a disputable matter on the job you picked, did you pick a job that catered to you more, or did you pick a job that allowed you to serve God? Did you get in a relationship that catered to you more, or did you stay in a relationship that countered for God more? Right? How you raised your kids, did you do it to make them and you happy, or did you do it so they'll serve God? This is the crossroad. All right? And we're blind because somebody told us he just wants you to be happy. We made it about us. Hopefully you're getting that. We see in Matthew 16, 27, it says, for the Son of Man is going to come in his Father's glory with his angels, and then he will reward each person according to what he has done. See, that's the day when he returns, the day of the Lord, when he comes here. And it says he will reward each person according to what he has done. Too many people are scared of works because they don't understand how works works. We just did that. If y'all remember, was that a sermon or Bible say? It was something that hopefully y'all are studying, and it shows the word. So yes, our actions, but it's going to be based on purpose, is what makes it either works or if it makes it trust in God. If it makes it works or if it makes it belief. You get it? So according to what I have done is how I'm going to be rewarded. And not just what I've done, it's the quality, as you've seen earlier, of what I've done. You have some people that are extremely busy, and they're going to get a little over nothing. And when I say busy, based on world standards, okay? And they're going to basically get nothing because they're so busy, they're missing out on all the other things they're responsible for doing, okay? I can't be nice some of the times, but people know me as a grouch. That's not, right? My reward's wiped out. Those other times where I'm patting myself on the back. I remember we used to have a thing at our job where they gave aces, and it was to really hard workers. And one person brought to attention, they only give it to people that have those good moments. I mean, that's how warped the world is. So we had some people that were just known to be irresponsible, but they had those days where they stepped up. Guess who got an ace? But you had people that every single day they came in there, their work level was way up there, and they got nothing. That one lady was crying. She was saying, I don't understand this. Why am I being treated this way for working hard? I remember I felt that way. I used to get straight A's, sometimes some B's and stuff like that. My brother did not. That's all I could say. And leave it at that. And I remember the one time he came in, he got like straight B's and an A. And you would think, I mean, that he won the Super Bowl on his own. And of course, the human jealousy was sitting there like, I do this all the time. Where's my party? And so on and so forth. But it was out of human warpness. We support that. God is saying, no, I'm going to look at the quality. So the person who actually deserves it will get it. Not me just going, well, I'm trying to encourage the other person. I understand what humans try to do, but we tend to miss, and we miss the mark on that. Okay? He will reward each according to what he has done. And it also shows that in Psalm 62, 11 through 12, one thing God has spoken, two things have I heard, that you, O God, are strong, and that you, O Lord, are loving. Surely you will reward each person, once again, according to what he has done. Let's do these last two, and then we'll stop. Knowing we will be rewarded by him is part of the faith. Okay, part of faith is going to show in how you live. You'll do things and understand down here, when I do something and I get an immediate return on investment, I'm going to keep doing that something, right? Let's say y'all came to church, and every time you came to church, you got $100. Church be packed. Just come to church, $100. Packed, all right? Love it, because well, you're getting a return on your investment. But that's not a person who's trusting in God. That's a person now whose flesh has been fulfilled. And you're doing it because it's been proven. But the person who hears what God says and know that the reward we're going to get in the end is way beyond our understanding, and you see them diligently, that's the one who's going to get the reward. Hebrews 11:6 says, and without faith, it is impossible to please God. That means if what I did was not based on faith, and you remember what it says in Romans 14, anything done without faith is sin. Even if you two people did the same thing, and one did it for any other purpose, they sinned. And the other purpose did it solely for God. And I'm talking about the way you say you do it for God. It's not just you saying, I'm doing this for God. You're going to see how I did it is based on what he said in order to do it. But without that, I can't please God. And this is the ones who or living to please God. It says, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists. That's the first thing. Okay. So when you're living for this invisible and you don't always see an immediate return on investment, but I believe in that investment that I'm going to get. And watch this. And that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. Now, to earnestly seek God means I'm going out of my way. I see a lot of people doing other things. I see a lot of things working for other people. And it's not just me in my religious moments. It's me in every aspect of my life. That's how I can love my enemies. This is how I can love my wife. This is how wives can love and respect their husbands. This is how we can deal through some of the most rotten things in this world, knowing that I'm supposed to minister to this world. This is how I'll never be a partner with the world, because all of this is what he told me will please him. But if I were to change it and love my wife a certain way that I think is the right way to love, which you get a lot of people doing out there, I've lost. That means I'm not doing it for God. I sin. Get it? I sin. When I earnestly seek him, everything I do, you should be able to come to me. So, Pastor, show me that in the Bible. And I should be able, absolutely, and show you it. But if you kind of give the, well, I thought, I felt, and that's what we end up getting stuck on. Earnestly, from that Greek word, ekazeteo, which means investigate, to crave, to demand. Do you understand that? And which I'm just going, I have to have this. If I did something in order for you to want church, I'm hindering your walk. Think about that. Think about that. I've seen them, and I know when people mean well, and they've created things. Like there was one who had a basketball thing, and it was on Sunday, and they had televisions up when football games would be on. So he told all the men that weren't coming to church, come to this, and I'm going to give you a 5-minute sermon, and then we're going to go out, we're going to play ball, and the TVs will be on. You get to watch all the football games, and you'll have everything, and we'll have wings. And that, in the beginning, when they first said that, people were like, that is so clever, that is so great, until later on they realized, well, really, it's not. Right? People start learning how to come in at a certain time, so they only got a little bit of that sermon. People's main focus and their purpose, because you were trying to make the flesh be spiritual. That wasn't being shrewd, because shrewdness only does the things God says to do, not these weird things that humans tend to do. Understand that. Okay? I'm going to stop there. I know I said I'll do two, so forgive me, but we're going to stop there. Any questions? Are you there? It's okay. You don't have to have questions all the time. All right. Praise God. As we always say, make sure you check everything that you're hearing, okay? Don't just take it. I love that y'all love me, but don't take it because you love me, because a lot of people love wrong people, and they're getting those people they love are taking them to hell. So don't trust me. Trust the word. So you're just trusting, Pastor, I'm hearing what you're saying. I'm going to make sure that's within sound doctrine. I'm going to make sure it's in the Bible in the first place, and then I'm going to grow in it. Thank you for the understanding, and I'll apply it, or you're going to come back, and you're going to go, Pastor, that wasn't in there. Struggling, help me out. Okay. All right. If there's nothing else, I can go ahead and close out. All right. Let's pray. Dear most heavenly, most gracious Father, once again, thank you so much for your word. Thank you for the goals that you have placed in our minds, dear Lord, and not allowing them to cater to our flesh, but that we must strive for them, for the love that we have in you. We know it's very easy for us to get caught up, dear Lord, in what we feel and what we desire, and especially in this time today. We know there are many that are struggling with health, finances, with life itself, but we want to make sure we're encouraging them within their spirit, dear Lord. We want to make sure that we're guiding them and helping them and being there for them in you, dear Lord. We ask for your continual guidance for families that are struggling with losing loved ones, with those who are going through just what life brings that are very hard to deal with mourning. Bless those who are going through any type of illnesses or job loss or anything. Also, for those who are living a life that's distracting, which is catering so much to their flesh, they're not paying attention. Help us, dear Lord, to minister in the right way, to be shrewd, not to force, but to follow what your word says and realize that we are a body, to look out for one another in the church, dear Lord. We thank you so much for your mercy and your grace, and help us to make sure we're showing that same mercy to each and every person. We thank you so much for all that you do, and we ask for all of these things in your Son and our Savior, Jesus Christ's name, we say, amen. Love you, family.
Good night. Love you guys.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Hey, sister. How you doing?